It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to our weekly outdoor show here on KETR, where I have the unique privilege of visiting with all you nice folks and talking about hunting and fishing and just about any topic in the outdoors that we could come up with. And gosh, in the past 7.5 years, we've come up with a lot of different topics. I've had many interesting guests, everyone from Joaquin Jackson, the famous Texas Ranger, was with us before he passed away. You know, I think Joaquin was on a couple of 3 years ago. And we have Larry Wysoon with us. Bill Dance has been with us. But we have a lot of local folks on the show, and I think that's what really makes it tick. You know, I mean, Northeast Texas hunting, a lot of us get to travel places. As an old outdoor writer, I do. I get to go a lot of places, and it's kind of required of me, you know. But no place I'd rather be than right up here in Northeast Texas and hunting and fishing. It's just, well, it's home. I was raised in Red River County, you know. Not to get too philosophical this morning, but I've got a soapbox that I want to step up on for a minute and talk to you folks about the topic of hunting and how hunting has changed through the years. Now, you know, there was a time when whitetail deer, if you killed, back in the day, I'm talking about when I was a kid and even back in the, 80s or 70s, if you killed a buck, how many points did he have? Was he a 10-point or spike, four-corn? You know, points were a big deal. Well, and they still are, but, you know, now we've migrated, educated in a way, maybe over-educated ourselves as deer hunters. Is that buck a 5.5 or 6.5-year-old? And I'll swear, I mean, I'm out and about with deer hunters probably more than the average Joe. I see it a lot. Now, I think that was a 7-year-old buck, real old. No, he was 6.5. Let me tell you something about whitetail deer. I'm not a biologist, but I've kicked around, have got buddies, Larry Wysoon and other folks that are, you know, degreed biologists. I guarantee you, I'll make a wager. We can get the top biologist that you can think of, wildlife biologist, in a room together and bring in 5 different whitetail bucks of varying ages. That's the known age. I mean, you know exactly how old these deer are. And I guarantee you they all won't come up with the same answer. Now, granted, a year and a half old, well, a six-month-old buck, nubbin buck, we call it. We all know what that is. We all know what a year and a half old buck is. Most of us can tell a 2.5 from a 3.5. It's pretty easy once you know some basic things. But with the genetics that's being bred into some deer nowadays, that chart is off the scale anymore. There's some 2.5-year-old deer that score, 200 inches, or more, much more, some of them. So judging the age of deer is all relative of where the deer are, what they can do, what they can produce antler-wise, body-wise, at a certain age. Something to think about. Mature deer, some people, if it's not a 4.5, we're not going to shoot it. I've been in on some pretty tense little situations in years past judging deer. One time I was guiding a deer hunter. I won't give any names or ranches or anything like that. I was guiding a very high up in the outdoor world fella, very high up, and a very nice guy on a ranch, and lots and lots of deer, a lot of bucks. It was a 6,500-acre ranch. I will never forget it. Well, I know what a 3-year-old, I know the difference in a 2.5 and a 3.5. Now, 3.5 to 4.5 all the time, I can't tell you with 100% certainty. I can't do it. Usually I can, but not always. Well, the deer herd on this particular ranch was so healthy and robust, the bucks were so big, that they matured faster than most places, I think. It was a free-range ranch, too. Well, I had my outdoor executive, who I'll stress again was one of the nicest fellas I've ever spent time with. I spent 3 days hunting with him, guiding him, if you will. I knew the roads on the ranch and where the stands were, and he and I just had a wonderful time for about 3 days hunting. We had a young guide there on this ranch. By young, I'm talking about 30s, in his 30s, which was young at the time. I was probably about 60. Well, he comes in. Well, we saw this little, I think he actually said big, 3.5-year-old. He was a fine buck, eight point. Boy, he was, bragging on the buck. He said, I wouldn't let my hunter shoot him. He wanted him to get at least a 4.5-year-old. Well, he saw this buck in an area he was hunting for a couple of days, and it's come to find out it was the biggest buck killed out of about 7 hunters on a 3-day hunt. My hunter killed him. So the buck got over into an area, the same buck, I'm told. I believe it probably was the same buck, big old 8-point, 3-year-old. Well, my hunter looked at him. He's from back east, and he'd never killed many. He was used to killing a 120-inch 8-point up in, Connecticut or somewhere, back in the east on the east coast. He wasn't used to being hunting a ranch where there were big deer. Well, this buck came out. And I looked at my buddy's, the guy's eyes. They were big as saucers. And he rolled his eyes over and he said, what do you think, Luke? And I knew that this was the buck that this young guy had been taunting everybody with, and we don't want to shoot that one. I'd already talked to the ranch owner, and I said, if I cross paths with that buck, nobody's killing any big deer yet. What do you think? He said, okay. And he said, if you're man wants to kill it and he's happy with it, shoot it. And that's the key right there. Well, the buck came out and my hunter made a good shot and dropped him, tickled to death. And I was too. Actually, like I say, it was the biggest buck. He's probably about pushing 140 inches. There were bigger bucks than that on the ranch, but that was the biggest buck that was actually harvested. And he was a 3.5-year-old. Later, they verified that. The biologist did. Well, we brought the deer back in camp. And this young man, there's a reason for me telling you this, but this young man, oh, my gosh, you shot that young buck in front of about 15 people. I didn't say a word, and it knocked the wind out of my hunter's sails. I mean, you can imagine somebody saying something like that. I did have a heart-to-heart talk with the ranch manager, the owner of the ranch, about that. And that stopped. I can't imagine anybody saying that. But it was the biggest buck killed. It was a very fine buck. Now, what I'm getting at is this. Deer hunters, and I've seen this happen in the last decade or so, are getting to be what I call downright snooty. And it's not a good practice. If a guy takes, just say for instance, a guy has 50 acres leased up in Red River County. That's what he's hunting, 50 acres. Well, say it's in a pressured area where bucks don't usually get past 2.5 years old. If he takes his son or his wife or just himself up there, gets in his little camper or whatever, has a little weekend hunt, shoots a 2.5-year-old 8-point, more power to him. He did well. I don't think we should be ragging on a person for shooting what he wants to shoot. Now, there again, if this guy were on a high-fenced ranch where a 150-class deer is going to cost him a couple of $1,000s and he didn't want to do that, or if he had plenty of money, if he had $20,000 and he wanted to shoot a 400-inch whitetail buck, more power to him. What I'm getting at is this. We have to quit being so critical of each other as hunters. Trust me, there's plenty of people out there, anti-hunters and anti-hunting organizations, that can take care of the critical part, and they do. They carry it to the, to the max, trying to ridicule what we as hunters do. So if you hunt with a crossbow, more power to you. If you hunt with a 300 Winchester mag, more power to you. It's legal. The state of Texas has said it's okay to do this. The people with the sheepskins on the wall have studied it. It's okay to do it. A good case in point, air rifles. I expect next year big bore air rifles are going to be approved by the state. You might have listened to some past shows with Alan Kane, the Texas Parks and Wildlife whitetail deer chief guy. He went on a hunt, and they killed three spikes with the big bore air guns, and he liked it. He went before the commissioners to propose that it's be allowed, the big bore air rifles, next year. If it's not next year, I bet it'll be the next. But whatever way that you hunt deer that's legal is fine. Whatever age class deer you decide that you want to put your tag on is fine. Unless, of course, you're under some restrictions by a hunting ranch or something. I understand that too, but we have to quit belittling other hunters. That's what I'm getting at. Speaking of deer, let's talk about some of the best barbecue that I've ever cooked. I think I've got time to tell you. I did this last week out of some mule deer steaks that I killed a nice, well, by nice. He was actually a 5-point, big old wide rack mule deer up in New Mexico about 3 weeks ago. Excuse me. Need some more coffee, I think. Well, here's how I cooked it, and it was the best barbecue, honestly, I've ever had. I put it in a cast iron skillet, and I cut it into steaks first, like you'd chicken fry steaks instead of a big hunk of meat, you know? And I season it with a little garlic powder and a little salt. Now, I have all these steaks laid out in a cast iron skillet. I take a pound of, well, actually it's 14 ounces. You don't buy a pound of bacon anymore, hardly. 14 ounces of the cheapest bacon I could get at Walmart. I wanted it to have a lot of fat, and it did. So I laced the top of those steaks with the bacon, just kind of make a crosshatch, you know? And on top of that, I put some slivers of jalapeno pepper on, put two peppers, and I seeded them and scraped them, you know, where they wouldn't be so hot. Put them in there on top of that, and here was the kicker. Chipotle raspberry barbecue sauce. You can get it at Walmart, too, but it's Sweet Baby Ray's makes it, I think, but it's only a couple of bucks for a bottle of that. I put some of that in there, and I put it in my smoking tex, and I cut it up to 225 with some plum wood, dry plum wood in the box there, the smoke box. And I let that go for about, I thought I'd cover it later, but I wound up not covering it. I let it go for about 5 hours, and I'd check it occasionally. I actually added a little water one time. You don't want to dry that meat out because it's dry anyway. But I'm going to tell you, at the end of about 5 hours, that meat, those steaks were, mule deer steaks were very tender. I took them and actually flaked them apart and used a little mallet and, you know, got them all real and a sharp knife and tenderized them, cut them up into, I guess you'd call it like chopped barbecue. But I drained all that juice off, you know, that the bacon had rendered down, and then chopped the peppers, and the bacon was then, you know, it was kind of lean bacon, and chopped it back up in there with it, added some of that chipotle raspberry sauce. Best barbecue I've ever eaten in my life. Folks, we're about out of time. I really have enjoyed visiting with you today, and remember, KETR.org, you can listen to these shows anytime. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at KETR.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.